TechNam wins EASA certification. Dozing on the job, not uncommon in the UK. And going back to space in American hardware. This is Aero News for Tuesday, October the 1st, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. EASA has certified TechNam's P-2008JC single-engine airplane. The company will now begin immediate delivery of the pre-ordered planes to the Czech Republic, France, Germany, Poland, and Switzerland. A state-of-the-art trainer, the TechNam P-2008JC, is equipped with full electronic flight display screens rather than the traditional knobs and dials seen on typical aircraft instrument panels. With its fuselage and vertical fin made of the latest technology carbon fiber prepeg and metal wings and stabilator, TechNam says the P-2008JC has a vast number of advantages over traditional aircraft, including greater fuel efficiency and a quieter in-flight experience. One significant launch order for the aircraft is from the Aero Club Air France. Their first 12 TechNam P-2008JCs will be distributed amongst five of the Aero Club Air France's affiliated groups. Ahead of a crucial European Parliament vote on new EU rules on pilot flying hours that will change UK safety standards, BALPA, the British Airline Pilots Association, released results of a poll that shows that more than half of British pilots admit to having fallen asleep on the flight deck, and 8 of 10 believe their abilities have been compromised by tiredness in the past 6 months. Also, 3/4 of British pilots have said they do not trust the European regulator in its role as the aviation safety body for Europe. BALPA said in a news release that the new EU rules will dilute existing high UK safety standards and introduce weaker EU ones. For instance, the new rules will permit a pilot to land an aircraft having been awake for 22 hours or more, with a level of tiredness that is the equivalent of being 4 times over the legal alcohol limit for flying. 9 out of 10 members of the British public said this was of concern to them in a recent poll. I should think so. The survey of 500 commercial pilots conducted by ComRes on behalf of BALPA found that 56% of pilots admitted to having fallen asleep on the flight deck. Even more worryingly, of those who admitted this, nearly 1 in 3 said they woke to find the other pilot also asleep. 43% said they believed their abilities have been compromised at least once a month by tiredness. 31% don't believe their airline has a culture that lends itself to reporting tiredness concerns. And unprompted, 49% said pilot tiredness was the biggest threat to aviation flight safety. Well, that certainly makes me rethink what airline I'll be flying to Europe next year. For the first time, NASA astronauts are practicing a launch into space aboard the agency's Orion spacecraft and provided feedback on the new capsule's cockpit design. 10 pairs of astronauts participated in 2 normal launch simulations and 2 launch abort simulations inside an Orion mock-up fitted with instrument panels and other equipment being designed for the actual capsule. As the 2-person crews made their way through a series of tasks, engineers took careful notes of every comment and question from the crew. Their feedback will be considered in the process of fine-tuning the design and build requirements for the displays and controls. Orion's first crewed launch, Exploration Mission 2, is scheduled for 2021, when NASA plans to send 2 astronauts to an asteroid in lunar orbit. Orion ultimately will allow us to go farther into space than ever before, including destinations such as Mars. The FAA's Modernization and Reform Act of 2012, enacted by Congress, calls for establishing 6 unmanned aircraft system research and testing sites in the United States, and the states of New Jersey, Maryland, and Virginia want one. The 3 mid-Atlantic states and their leading research universities have signed an agreement stating they will work collaboratively toward supporting the FAA's research and testing efforts aimed at integrating unmanned aircraft systems into the national airspace system. The state's proposals were submitted to the FAA by the University System of Maryland and the Mid-Atlantic Aviation Partnership, representing the combined resources of New Jersey and Virginia, with Rutgers University and Virginia Tech participating in the effort. Decisions on siting the flight centers is expected to be made before December 31st. Cessna late last week celebrated the successful completion of the wing mating on the Citation Latitude first test article. This achievement is another program milestone for the Latitude as it approaches its first prototype flight expected in the first quarter of 2014. The Latitude was announced at the NBAA conference in October of 2011. When Aero News continues, Orbital Sciences says mission accomplished. Look what I found. And is he calling Captain Kirk chief?
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, October 1st. I'm Glenn Moyer. Astronauts aboard the International Space Station used a robotic arm to capture and attach a Cygnus cargo resupply spacecraft on Sunday, marking several spaceflight firsts for NASA and its partner, Orbital Sciences of Dulles, Virginia. Cygnus had been scheduled to rendezvous with the station on September 22nd, but due to a data format mismatch, that first rendezvous attempt was postponed. Orbital updated and tested a software patch to fix the issue. Then Cygnus's arrival was again postponed because of the arrival of the Expedition 37 crew aboard a Soyuz spacecraft on Wednesday. Orbital built and tested its Antares rocket and Cygnus spacecraft under NASA's Commercial Orbital Transportation Services, or COTS, program. The capsule, loaded with about 1,300 pounds of cargo, including student experiments, food, and clothing, will remain attached to the ISS until a planned unberthing on October 22nd that will send the spacecraft toward a destructive reentry in the Earth's atmosphere. A French hiker nearing the summit of Mont Blanc on a recent expedition happened to see the corner of a metal box sticking up out of the snow. The box was discovered to contain nearly 100 precious stones worth about $332,000 that may have been aboard an Air India flight that went down in the French Alps as many as 63 years ago. The UK newspaper The Guardian reports that there have been two such accidents, one in 1950, another in 1966. The climber turned in the gemstones to the local police, who are attempting to trace them back to their original owner or his or her family. Police say climbers on Mont Blanc are generally well aware of the history of the accidents on the mountain. The box was discovered on the Bosons Glacier, which has regularly given up artifacts from the two Air India accidents. Last year, two climbers found a bag of diplomatic mail that had been on a Boeing 707 traveling from Mumbai to New York in 1966. Well, for those who think that $250,000 is a little pricey for a short suborbital trip to space, Sir Richard Branson says he's formulating a less expensive option that he will unveil early next year. Discovery News reports that in an interview with Business Insider in New York, Branson said that the budget space carrier, that's our term, not his, would enable people to travel into space very cheaply. Not everybody, but quite a few people who never expected to go into space. When pressed, he said he'd already said too much about the project, and that came as a bit of a surprise, given that the price of a trip on Spaceship Two went up 25% in April. After the spacecraft successfully broke the sound barrier, Branson boosted the fare to $250,000, quote, until the first 1,000 people have traveled with us to match up with inflation, end quote. That first voyage is planned for early next year. Virgin Galactic says it currently has 600 people on a list waiting to be among the first to fly into space aboard SS2. But one of those is not actor William Shatner, a.k.a. Starship Commander James Tiberius Kirk, who you may recall last week turned down a flight when he learned he'd have to pay for his ticket to fly. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks so much for listening. You're now cleared for departure.